Today on Between the Lines, mistakes may just be the best thing you can do, with my guest, the talented artist Melanie Rothschild. Welcome, I'm Barry Kibrick. Melanie's art has appeared in the finest galleries across the country. She believes that art is there to remind us that we can think for ourselves. Now with her book, The Art of Mistakes, she shows us how the unexpected can turn into powerful opportunities and why we need to learn to embrace mistakes rather than fear them.
I'm a writer today because I was a reader when I was 11 years old. And it was...
You do not need to prove your state of happiness to anybody.
Most of these speeches were as much as a month in preparation.
Characters, the heroes in this book, are seekers of truth in a story that involves a lot of corruption.
I don't get a chance to really talk about what's real. Oh. And it's the person who is.
Melanie, welcome to Between the Lines. It is a pleasure to have you as a guest on our show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, Melanie, I told you in the green room, this is the first book I ever booked my guest by literally just the title, because it's called The Art of Mistakes. And I know that you are a genuinely fine artist, but I personally am the Picasso of mistakes. And I mean that seriously. And that's what got me so involved with the book, was that I've never met a mistake I didn't like. I think, like you, which is why I wanted you here, that mistakes sometimes brings out the best in all of us.
You are among one of the prize winners for being so successful with all your mistakes, because not everybody is. Certainly everybody has a ton of experience with mistakes, and almost everyone I encounter when they see the book say, you should have come to me, I could have been your expert for mistakes. I do think that there's an amazing amount of richness that comes when you understand how mistakes are part of the creative process. But also part of it is understanding that mistakes can be terrible things, and there are things you really don't want to make mistakes in. And there's a lot of nuance around mistakes. And so that's why I call it The Art of Mistakes.
Well, you know, I think one of the examples is, you don't want to make the mistake of plugging in an electric wire while you're standing in wire. I don't mean those kind of mistakes, but the human mistakes that we sometimes make in business, I found that by turning those mistakes around with a simple, sometimes sincere apology, sometimes it's just correcting the matter, boy, you almost... I don't want to say I do mistakes on purpose, because I don't have to. They flow so naturally. But I almost feel that sometimes, boy, I'm glad I made that mistake, because I get to correct it now. And sometimes people get to see a deeper character within you when you amend your mistake.
You have a very evolved way of looking at and thinking about mistakes, which not everybody is gifted with. And
by the way, that's why I wanted you on the show, because I want people to be gifted. You are literally gifted in the art of the mistake. So that's why you're here.
Well, thank you. It took me a long time to come to that understanding. And in fact, I have a formal background in study of creativity, which seems like a funny thing that I sort of blundered my way into. It actually came about because I was doing an art show. I had been accepted into a show, and I had to do an artist statement. And I realized I had no idea what to write, because I'm self-taught, and I was asked to write an artist statement, and I wanted it to be real, to be meaningful, and I really didn't know what to say. And I started researching creativity, and got more and more interested in it, and then started to study it formally.
Well, in fact, I'm glad you said that, because I really want to let people know what this book really is. It's a kind of almost a three-platform book. It is the appreciation of the mistakes and how it could add to creativity. It is an art book. There's also, I should say, it's lessons of how not to avoid being an artist. In other words, it's encouraging art rather than discouraging it by being a difficult task. So it's got that in it. And it really is, when you're talking about art, as you just mentioned, it's really dealing with all forms of creativity, be it the artist, be it the writer, be it the businessman, be it the teacher, being the doctor, the nurse, the you name it. Everyone has this creativity, and if they apply that creativity to their whatever profession, boy, the joy comes out like you can't believe.
Thank you for totally getting this book.
That's my job, by the way.
Well done. The idea behind creativity and the arc of creativity, in a very, very quick nutshell, is gathering up all kinds of ideas, thinking expansively as possible. And in order to do that, if you really are going to have sort of a rich time in terms of meandering and thinking and coming up with ideas, there's going to be mistakes. If you think about in nature, in evolution, we call them mutations. But look at how many mistakes there are all the time. And the good ideas that come about from those mutations then take us forward to the next plateau. You know, the opposable thumb was, we take it for granted, but it was a mistake at one point.
Well, you know, you talked about before the reason how you even came up with the study of creativity was you were forced to mutate, so to speak, to do it. But in some form, you say that it truly is, on one level, we may stifle it, but it's a basic instinct. And your object in this book is to draw that instinct out of your reader.
Well, to not make mistakes, it's expecting perfection, which is just not an attainable goal. So understanding just how it all flows, that there's meandering time, there's mistakes in that. Sometimes those mistakes are useful. Sometimes just the idea that you were able to feel expansive in that meandering time and not holding back because you're worried about making mistakes is what's going to enable you to pull ideas that are fresh, which is what the essence of creativity is.
Well, and you so eloquently state that it is the fear of not doing right that stifles creativity. That's why we have to have this sort of a reevaluation of our relationship with mistakes. Otherwise, we get almost a paralysis, sort of an analysis and a paralysis of analysis. We sit there trying to be so right, we are frozen in time, where if we allow for room for mistake, it allows us to broaden our insights.
I think there's a creative muscle. I'm going to make a tiny Venn diagram here. There's a creative muscle.
Only an artist could make a tiny Venn diagram like that. Go right ahead.
And there's artistic skill or expression. So sometimes they overlap. In other words, someone might be able to render in an excellent way, and that's fabulous. It's not necessarily exerting creative muscle if you're not bringing some of your own creative overlay to it, whatever that might be, if you're strictly following the steps. And it might be well done, and I'm not trying to say that there's something wrong with that and that's no good. I'm not trying to put that down at all. But I'm just saying creative muscle is a different thing from artistic know-how, and that muscle can be applied to artistic expression. It can be applied to that list you gave before, to anything that human beings come up with. It's just sort of what defines us as being human, being able to bring that our own way, our own approach.
And you're also very careful to say it's hard work. Reevaluating our attitude in general is always hard. Sometimes in these discussions, I like to reinforce that to the viewer, because it's not just like, oh, okay, I'm going to think mistakes are fun. No, it's a practice. It's something you have to feel in your soul. And that's when it works, when you literally practice it to some extent.
Absolutely. It's huge. I call it a short idea with deep roots, because in formal creativity training, if people come into business and they train for innovation or are trying to there are many different models of training for enhancing creativity. And one of the things that they always add is, oh, and don't worry about making mistakes in this trying to learn to broaden the way you think and be expansive in your thinking. But I felt that just hearing somebody say, oh, don't worry about mistakes, just doesn't do it. It's such a deeply entrenched part of us that it really requires, for me, some recalibrating of the thinking rather than following step by steps. When I came to that realization is when I heard in this creativity study the direction not to worry about mistakes, I started thinking about so many of the mistakes I'd made with my artwork and how I came to realize they were kind of the tools of my trade.
Oh, and in fact, if I'm correct, the mistake that inspires some of what I thought was and still think, and by the way, should let viewers know, they've already been seeing your art. I didn't want them to think they weren't seeing your art, but the art that we're going to also be seeing is the art of the mistake you made. And this was when paint spilled, and all of a sudden, that spark of creativity in when I was looking through the art enabled you to create what I think now is some of the most beautiful art, especially those drips of, oh gosh, I fell in love with the drips of paint.
Thank you.
I wanted to eat them. They were like candy on a string.
Thank you. That's just what I hope people will feel like when they see it. It was actually about a week later that I had the idea, because what happened was I spilled a gallon of paint in my workshop, which is a huge mess. I had no idea how to approach it. And so I just thought, I'm just going to wait a week. And I'll call on that old, you know, procrastination God. And I just let it go for a week and came back and figured I would chisel it off in handfuls, and it would just be easier to deal with than a wet, gloppy situation. So when I started to peel it off, instead of it breaking apart, it just kept staying together. And as I started picking it up, I just had this huge, like, hide of paint in my arms, and I was just astonished, and I just thought, oh my God, I had no idea.
Well, you know, you say these words, the golden moment from mistake comes not just from the making of the mistake, but from the ability to recognize the opportunity that has been presented. And that's the real key when you talk about the art of the mistake, because you're right. If you just make a mistake and it's just left as a mistake and you can't realize its beauty, that's the key. The key is to make that connection and respond to that opportunity.
It's being able to be open to that kind of thinking and not used to just rushing in and cleaning everything up instantly and automatically.
Well, you had a line that I want to use now too, and it was called flourishing in a world of should and shouldn'ts, because that's also part of the mistake rule, because we're always taught you shouldn't make a mistake. And part of that, which I connected this myself, I don't know if you really connected it, but I like to take advantage when I see a little connection. And I thought part of that was also this line that you use, using whatever is available. Because that little secret right there, whatever's available to make your art, to make your statement, to fix what's broken, to do whatever it is. It's like, you know, what is that? There's that saying, if all you have is a hammer, everything's a nail.
Right.
And by the way, I've banged my computer with my hammer and sure enough, it worked. So it is the ability to use what's available and not be so much worried about what should and shouldn't be done with it.
Well, what I say is that artists, and when I say artists, I mean just people who think with a creative muscle, artists make the most of available resources. That's sort of all we've got, is just whatever we have, whatever cards we're dealt, being able to have as creative as possible a way of thinking to bring it back to those resources we have, no matter how huge or how meager they are, and do as much as we can with them.
And that's why you give a warning literally to teachers, because you want, they, you realize that the massive power, and in this particular case, you're talking about an art teacher, but in general, all teachers have this tremendous power to either deflate you or inflate you. It's huge, am I right?
It's huge.
And they are such an important role. And by the way, teacher, I mean parent, I mean coach, I mean all those people that have an influence in your life, they have to be aware that what they say could be unleashing creativity or stifling it.
Join us each week on the Well Beyond Medicine podcast as we explore the 80% of child health impacts that occur outside the doctor's office. Listen and subscribe at nemourswellbeyond.org, where you'll hear pediatric experts, researchers, and policymakers from around the world discussing ways they are revolutionizing children's health. I'm your host, Carol Vassar. Let's go.
Let's go.
In such a huge way, I have a conversation like this with people constantly, where people tell me how horrible they are in art, which they then translate into, in their own heads, just creative thinking in general. And they so many of them say they have proof that they're bad. And they'll usually tell a story about something that some teacher said to them somewhere, which probably was not even intended to be an unkind remark, but was just sort of an offhanded thing. And they heard it, and it went in deep, and it just stopped. That was the day that they decided to stop having any kind of hope.
Well, that's why you use these words, and I am now going to place them on the top of my desk, okay? Don't yuck my yum. And explain it, because I got it right away when I read it, because I've so much experienced. Oh, you know what? I don't want to give it away, because I'll explain what I experience after you say what don't yuck my yum is.
I heard somebody say it at a potluck party. You know, somebody had something on their plate and was eating it and loving it. And somebody else said, oh, you know, you're eating that? And they said, don't yuck my yum. And I, oh my God, it was like, you know, like religious commandment to me. I just thought it was brilliant. And so I put it in the book.
Oh, well, you know, it's because naysaying, as you say, and this is something I try to encourage my staff and everybody that I work with is, you know, don't fire hose it so fast. Let all the yuck and yum come out. Then, of course, you can play with it and mix it up. It's when you stifle that idea that you don't get a chance to truly explore all of the beauty that may come from something that might not taste so good at first, but really can. And you're also very careful about that. And you also use these words, respect the fragility of zest, because it is zest and enthusiasm that is really sometimes at the root of the mistakes at first, because you're so excited, you just want to get something done, and don't yuck my yum. Don't ruin it so fast. Let it flow and then make it work.
And because it's hard to sometimes connect with that excited state of mind when you are having a flow of ideas and meandering and going new places. And so you at least want to be able to get the gas going before you put the brakes on.
Like you say, what's the worst that could happen? They'll just laugh at you. I mean, that is really the worst that really could happen.
Right. I mean, of course, it's case specific. You know, you can't just have a total abandon with mistakes all the time.
Listen, of course, I mean, you're presenting to the President of the United States, or you're meeting the head of a board of, you know, I mean, we all know that. But in general life, I'm telling you, you can make them.
Right. And then it's followed by a process of refining them and working things out, just so it's not that the mistake is there and, oh, it's perfect as is, it's grand. It just takes you to the next step.
I think it's also these words that you say that I think I take it back. I don't think I know this is what's really important. If you test something out and you decide it really isn't what you want, That was not a waste of time. No matter how much effort you might put into something, it could be a 300-page novel that you just end up ripping or goes in the garbage. That was not a waste of time if, again, you keep in mind that perspective that everything you're doing is giving you knowledge, gaining you wisdom, and giving you new ways to know to avoid not to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I think this is probably the hardest thing that I know I personally have to deal with, and I always assume if I have a hard time with it, so does everybody else. It's protecting ourselves from our own feeling of shame and embarrassment when we make that mistake. That's the first thing. I always say this differently, too, because a bad person doesn't really care, but it's the first thing that a good person does is blame themselves and then feel shame for the blame and then feel more shame for the fact that they felt shame for blaming. And, you know, it's really, if and I say, if I could even break that cycle, which I do, by the way, over time, the nicest thing you talk about is age in here. And I say, that's the best thing about life. Getting older, guys, you have no clue how much wiser that makes you.
It does help.
It really does help. But that is important, to protect ourselves from shame.
And that's why my method, if you will, instead of having a particular, you know, follow these steps, I just like to talk about the arc of creativity and how mistakes are just really an intrinsic part of that. It's not that you want to try to avoid it. It's that you want to go through that storm. Because I feel like if you really integrate it into your being, into your thinking, then it's much easier to take it in stride and weather the storm and see what you come out with on the other end.
And you give us permission to say, we humans, we get to go off script.
That's our evolutionary good fortune, is that we're not, you know, banana slugs or ants. And there's a certain amount that's done for us that unfolds. But that's the great gift of being a human being, is that we get to make the most of our available resources in as big a way as we can think.
I highlighted and bolded this the largest of all, because I think if there is a roadblock that people face, this is it. And that is when you feel you've lost your creative juice. And again, as I say, it could be in any field. I've seen teachers burn out. I've seen artists burn out. I've seen writers especially see that blank page and not know what to do. And you say this, you're not dried up. You're just incubating. What a lovely way to look at those dry spells. They're not dry spells. They're actually nurturing, incubating spells. What is an incubator? It's a place to nurture a baby so that it can develop into its fullest form while in this protective case. And I thought that is one of the most important lessons.
It's very helpful to realize that. It's part of that creative arc. It's part of the process of where ideas go into the cooker, if you will, and just need some time floating around and coming together and meeting each other. And a lot of that happens, I'll say, behind the scenes when you're not really aware of it. And knowing that that's just part of the process is hugely freeing and takes away a lot of excruciating worry.
You also say this, and I think I don't even want to use the examples you give in the book because they're very harsh, but they're true. But no, I don't mean the personalities that you use in the book to give this example, but people will see it when they read it.
Not sure where you're going. Okay.
You'll see when I say this. Ethics and empathy. Without creativity without empathy is perilous. So you know who I'm talking about now when you give those examples. I just don't like using them because they're overused sometimes, but not in your book. Your book uses it perfectly. But I just thought empathy with that creativity and empathy is what true creativity really is.
Well, something I realized about creativity is that it's a morally neutral value. So having this creative, in the way that strength, you can be strong, it can be used in all kinds of directions. So creativity, there's all ways to define it, but if you define it as just this thinking, bringing something new to thinking, something fresh, something that hasn't been done before, new combinations of things, it can be used for horrible things. I mean, the most horrible things we can think of in history. You know, to me, the if you're making a hierarchy for a living, empathy really needs to be there in the very top. And then mixed with creativity, you have the best of what human beings have to offer.
Melanie, you offer the best, and our time is up. So I want to end with your words. To be the fullest humans we can, we must have the courage to do the things that express who we really are, our beings. Thank you, Melanie, for helping us share in that expression.
Thank you. It's been great.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And thank you guys for joining us. Now, before Melanie leaves, I'd like to leave you with these few more words from The Art of Mistakes. Creativity is not just about art. Sometimes it has nothing at all to do with art. Creativity is about how we think, the possibilities we allow in our thinking, and our ability to follow through with action. I'm Barry Kibrick. Between action and inaction sits the well of creativity. Drink from it and benefit from all the possibilities. Thank you so much, Melanie.
Oh, great.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more, please subscribe or become a patron of the show at barrykibrick.com to keep it going every week. Thank you.